Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh, it may make you cry, it may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 3 of the Ghost Hacks Podcast. I am Joe.
I'm Tom.
And welcome back, guys. Before we actually get started, I would like to say thank you to a few people that we didn't get a chance to mention yet. I'd like to thank my buddy Dave Lowe for doing the awesome, creepy intro voice that you hear in the beginning and at the end of the podcast. I tried doing that myself, and I couldn't get a creepy voice going at all. But I'm sure we'll probably end up using him down the line for some kind of something to do with that kind of thing along those lines. Also, I'd like to thank Eve S. Evans. You can hear her a little bit later on for the interview that I had done, a pre-recorded interview. She's a paranormal investigator, a paranormal author of 17 books, and she's a host of 4 paranormal podcasts, and she was our first interview, and she was awesome, great stories, so you're definitely going to want to stick around and listen to that. Also, I'd like to thank everybody who's listened to us so far. I mean, it's really amazing to us.
Yeah, wow, we're a couple of goons just bullshitting with each other, and I can't believe the response we're getting.
Yeah, and we hope we could keep continuing to give you the bullshitting that we do.
Joe, we got people in Europe listening to us. What is that about? How do we translate into Europe, Europeans?
I have no idea. I don't even know how we translate into Americanese. Yeah, so that's all I have to say with that stuff.
You also got to thank yourself, man, because you didn't give yourself any credit. You did all the music on this.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
You channeled your inner King Diamond.
Kind of what I do, you know? Yeah, so tonight we're going to be talking, before the interview, we're going to be talking a little bit about one of Tom's favorite things to talk about as far as paranormal. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, well, I was... we were talking, we touched on it in the previous episodes about investigators and doing half-assed jobs, or how they find something everywhere, but they always go into something as true believers. And I don't want to say recently, I want to say it was, I posted it in the Facebook group. It was back in September. Fella driving through Gettysburg, one of the battlefields in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Civil War, for anybody that has never studied American history. And he caught something on his dash cam that is absolutely unexplainable. And the reason why I brought up other paranormal investigators is because this was in September. This was reported in every major news outlet, and it was the story of the day, and then immediately disappeared. My take on this is, Joe, you know I've got a long, sordid law enforcement career. I've been in shooting situations before. I'm not proud of them, but I'm looking at this apparition, let's just say apparition, for I don't want to call it a ghost, that this guy caught on his camera. And this, if it is an apparition, if it is a ghost, it looks residual. And this looks like somebody in pure fear of their life running behind a cannon looking for cover. And anybody that's been in a combat situation knows this is what you're doing. It kind of got me mad that it was, nobody wanted to investigate this. If it is a ghost, this is an American soldier in what could have been the last moments of his life. Don't you want to try to investigate that? In fact, the only thing I saw a follow-up on it was somebody trying to debunk it, saying it was dust in the guy's window. Joe, you saw the video, right?
That was not dust.
There was no way that was dust.
We'll have to try and get the video, and I could put it in the show notes so everybody else could see that video if we could find it.
Okay, because I put it up in the Facebook group. And I swear, Joe, the only follow-up that I could find for days after the story broke, which I think it was September 15th or 16th, was one article saying, nah, it's dust. The guy's full of shit, you know?
Right, right.
Which it could very well be. Could absolutely very well be, but...
That's some very convincing dust, right?
Yeah. Where are all the paranormal investigators with this?
I did a little bit of research here, not particularly on that, but a little bit on Gettysburg. But we, you know, finish your thought, and then I'll get to that.
Well, yeah, no, I let's go with that, man, because Gettysburg is apparently very, very haunted.
Yeah, so Gettysburg, PA, is one of the most active paranormal hotspots in the entire world. This is a place where 94,000 Union troops. Clashed with 72,000 Confederate soldiers. It was the bloodiest battle of the Civil War between July 1st and 3rd of 1863. More than 51,000 Americans were killed, wounded, or went missing due to this. So it's definitely a hotbed for paranormal activity. If any place was going to be haunted, that would definitely be it.
Yeah. And I don't know. Listen, Joe, I want to believe. I think this guy got something on his camera that needs to be investigated in its entirety.
Right, right.
That I will say.
Sure.
I took your advice this week. I watched My Ghost Story.
Right. What'd you think?
I hated it. Dude, man, every one of those people was, you know, face front, true believers. Let me tell you my ghost story.
It's entertaining, though. And I like I said, if I tend to believe those shows more than I believe, you know, obviously the ghost hunting shows, because those are all staged. I mean,
yes.
Pretty much like 99% of those are staged. But I definitely believe in at least the people telling them. Some people I believe, some people you're like, all right, I got to turn this off because I can't listen to this crap anymore.
Yeah, but I definitely gave it a shot the other day. That might be the only shot I give them.
Before we close out on this too, before the interview and everything, I did want to say one thing, actually. It's funny because I feel like the podcasting thing, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to get involved in, I guess, a little bit. You know, you have, it's just a new experience for us. But I almost feel more comfortable doing this than I've felt with doing a lot of things. You know, it's kind of funny with that. Just like, you know, corrections for me, I feel like I've been doing that for 14 and a half years. Right. And I just feel like, maybe in the last couple of years, like you can never master it, you know, but I feel like I kind of have a handle on it now. That's the only other thing. And playing guitar a little bit, but there's a lot to guitar, you know, that I still haven't explored yet. But you know, the corrections thing, I've had many jobs, before that, you know, working in all different places, you know, hand jobs are always the worst for me.
What? Wah, man, you got me again.
I don't understand. Hand jobs. You know, jobs you use your hands with.
Yeah, sure.
Hand job.
Two or more hacks get together, always goes right to the gay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
But yeah, guys, so that was our little intro and our little thing about Gettysburg.
We're doing a Zoom. If I don't know if the quality of the audio is different. I've got a little COVID scare. I'll just put it out there because of work. So we're doing a Zoom podcast, and you're running with the interview with Eve all on your own. You're flying solo on this. But again, I just, in closing our little intro here into episode 3, I really want to thank everybody for the support and just listening to a couple of boneheads like us. That's awesome. I'm still shocked that we got people in Europe listening to us, bro. How bad is TV in Europe, man?
You know, but what's really cool though is, like I said, I believe I said it in the first episode that we did, you know, I feel like the podcast community is such a close community. You know, I've been putting a lot of our shows, you know, our first two episodes and stuff. You can find those on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, all the major podcast players. But I feel like everybody is just so welcoming, you know, and I feel like we're definitely going to make a lot of friends. And by the way, this is only going to be the first interview that we have.
Yeah, we have a couple other people lined up, big names in different genres, not only just ghost hunting, ghost telling, people in all walks of life.
By the way, if you would like to send us an email about anything paranormal, or, you know, if you want to tell us we suck, if you like us, if you think that we should be doing something that we're not,
get in line.
if you like something that we're doing, please, please, please email us at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com.
And we're going to be opening up, like we said before, very soon, all the social media outlets we're going to be opening on very soon, as well as promotional items we've got in the works. So, yeah, we're enjoying this. Our budding little empire here.
But yeah, definitely email us. Like I said, anything you want, pictures of anything, even pictures of your bowel movements. I'll even take that. Just no videos, because that's a little weird.
You sick bastard. I know. Everybody needs a hobby, Joe.
Anything. Just give us some emails, all right?
So up next, we have an awesome interview with paranormal author Miss Eve S. Evans. She has authored 17 paranormal books to date, some including Real Ghost Stories, 50 Terrifying Real Ghost Stories, Terrifying Stories of Haunted Hospitals, Haunted Hotels, Paranormal Places, and Shadow People, to name a few. 17 books in all, as we speak at the moment. She also hosts 4 podcasts: The Ghosts That Haunt Me, Forever Haunted, Truly Haunted, and Conspiracy. She has some really spooky stories, guys, so definitely take a listen. You will definitely not be disappointed. All of her information, including where you can find her books, where you can find her podcasts, and her Facebook page, will all be in the show notes of this episode. Please bear with me with this interview, because it is my very first interview doing this sort of thing on a podcast, so I was kind of nervous. I'll get better at it, I promise. So without further ado, here you go.
Hi.
What's up? How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
In your podcast intro, you had said that you became interested in the paranormal because you lived in a couple haunted houses.
Yeah.
What kind of things were you experiencing in those haunted houses?
Well, I don't want to say first, because I think my childhood home was haunted too, but I kept telling myself my parents had that built from scratch, so there was no way it could be. But obviously now that I'm older, well, the land could have been haunted or something. So that one was possibly haunted. And the first one that I really noticed was haunted, I'm going to actually go back to when we moved in, which I don't usually do when I talk on podcasts, but it was quite odd. So I didn't know I was pregnant at the time yet, but my dad has rental houses and I was renovating this house for him. And then we decided that we wanted to stay in it afterwards. But I'm downstairs and I'm taking off the carpet with a shovel because my dad is kind of like a Jimmy rigger. I don't know if you know what that is. So when he put the carpet down, he put more glue and then another layer of carpet and then another layer of carpet. And I was like, really, Dad? So I was using a shovel to get it off the concrete. And he went to lunch and these two people came downstairs and I'm like, who are these two? Like a woman and her daughter. And they're like, oh, sorry, we used to live here. We just wanted to look and see what it looked like as you're renovating it. And I was like, okay, kind of weird, whatever. And then she goes, have you noticed any weird ghostly activity yet? And I'm like, wait, what? Like, because she had a daughter that was like 4 with her. And I'm like, what woman like talks about that in front of their 4-year-old daughter, right? I was like, no, I haven't noticed anything weird. And then that kind of like set me off a little bit. But she said that they saw like a ghost in chains or something. And then I thought she was maybe messing with me because that sounds so stupid, right? Well, then I'm doing the shoveling thing after they left and I told my dad they stopped by. And I swear to God, like the dust like formed a person for a second. Like it kind of like did like a dust devil thing and like formed something and then like dissipated. And I was like, that had to be the wind. But I was in the basement and none of the windows were open, and it wasn't central air. It was just like an air unit upstairs. So I was like, okay, well, so then we moved in. And so technically I was warned about it being haunted, but I didn't believe her because of what she said. And then the first time I was sitting in the bathtub and I had the door open because my daughter was 6 months old and my husband worked graveyards. So I had the door open so I could hear her cry if she needed me. And I saw this figure that was like 3 feet tall and it was like black and it was like hunched over and it like ran past the door. And I was like, did I just really see that? But it ran towards my daughter's room. So I finally got out of the bathtub and was like, I need to go check. Obviously there was nothing in there. So I kind of brushed it off as like, okay, I was just seeing things. And then, oh, it had to be like a week or so later. I had a nightmare where a chick with wet hair that was like 18 years old came down from the attic that we never even hardly used, but she was dead. She looked like she drowned or something and walked down the hallway to my room and watched me sleep. But in my dream, while she was watching me sleep, I was also watching myself sleep. Like I was standing next to her watching myself sleep. And it really freaked me out. And then I woke up and I was like, wow, that nightmare sucked. And I went up to get a glass of water. And when I went out in the hallway, the attic door was wide open. And that really freaked me out because I believe my husband was at work that time and it was shut when I went to bed. And my daughter's 6 months old. She can't open it. So who opened the attic door? Anyways, so that was like the second thing. And then I was taking a nap with my daughter. And I think I lived in this house for like 6 years. So there's a couple things, but they're not like super bad. They're just kind of creepy. This was probably the worst one that I hated. I was taking a nap with her and then there was like a cop knock on the bedroom door and it shook the door. And I was like, what the heck? No one else is here. Like, how is that happening? And so I opened the door, I look in the hallway and I'm like, yeah, no one's here. Okay. Cause I thought maybe somebody broke in or something. So I went to the front door because I'm like, maybe there's a cop at the front door and they just knocked so loud, it just kind of shook the door. Like, I don't know. No one there. Walked around the entire house outside. No one. Came back in, laid down. It happened again like 10 minutes later. So I went and did the whole walk around. I mean, it happened like 4 or 5 times. And finally, I was like, I'm leaving the bedroom door open. So if it happens again, I can see whatever's in the hallway. Never happened again. Was the weirdest freaking thing. But my daughter heard it too. She was like freaked out. Wow. So then I told my husband about it and he laughed at me and he's like, whatever, you're crazy. And then like a year later, he was taking a nap during the day and it happened to him. He came flying downstairs, freaking out like his butt was on fire. And I'm working down there and I'm like, what? And he's like, we're blessing the house tonight. We're blessing the house tonight. I was like, finally, you believe me. But that was my first really crazy experience that got me freaked out. So I had a night terror / sleep paralysis occasionally there, but I had one where the old hag was screaming in my face when I woke up.
Wow.
Yeah. I still sleep with some sort of light on when I go to bed. I refuse to shut them off. Like, I don't know how long that will last, but probably a while.
Yeah, I always sleep with my TV on. Like, even if I can't hear it, just the light of the TV, I always have to have that on.
Yep, I won't do it again. That was creepy. But if you want, I can tell you about the second house. But it's not a super short, but...
Sure.
Okay. So, I got divorced, and it was not because he didn't believe me. But I got remarried, and he had two kids, and I had two kids, and then we have a son in common, and we blended our family together in this house that was like, I think, I'm trying to remember what year it was, probably 2012, I think we moved in there, or 2011, and the house was only like 4 years old, so you wouldn't think it would be haunted. But I know that they just recently remodeled it, like carpet, paint, everything. So maybe they stirred something up. I don't know. But the first thing that happened is we're sitting downstairs and we have one of those houses where you go in the front of it, you walk right in, and then there's like that weird, awkward room that's like too small to really do much with, but it's there.
Right.
So, and then you have the living room behind it. And then between the living room and the kitchen is the stairs that go upstairs. So we're sitting there in the living room watching TV, and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we hear da 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 down the hallway, like little kid footsteps, like running. And then there's a pause, and then they run back. Well, my 4-year-old at the time was scared to go to the bathroom at night, and so she'd run to the bathroom. And we looked at each other like, oh, it's just Crystal going to the bathroom, no big deal. And then we were like, wait a minute. And we looked at each other, we're like, they're not here. Because my kids were with their dad and his kids weren't there either. It was just our son that was 6 months old. So that kind of freaked us out. And then we went upstairs and walked around to make sure, obviously, there was nothing weird upstairs, but we figured there wouldn't be. And then there was pounding on the wall between our son's bedroom and ours. And so in his room, there was only a crib and it came from his closet because his closet was on the backside of our wall to our bed. And there was like one onesie, I think, hung in there because everything else was in his drawers on his crib. So there was nothing in his room that would have caused anything to fall or bang. Mm-hmm. And it would be, I think it was like 3 or 4 in the morning when it happened. But the first time it happened, it scared the crap out of me. It was like the cop knock at my old house, but it was on the wall. And it was so harsh, it shook our entire bed. Like it shook our headboard and smacked it against the wall. And I mean, my husband heard it and everything, and we were both like terrified. And I could never figure out what would have done that. Anyway, so that freaked me out to the point where I was scared to go to sleep because it did happen more than once. It happened multiple times. And then I was scared to sleep because I didn't want to be woken up that way.
Right.
And then I had sleep paralysis and night terrors about every other night in that house. Constantly. And then he had them too, and he wasn't used to having them. So we actually started having a pact where we would try to wake ourselves up at night to check on the other one to make sure we weren't having a night terror, to try to be there for each other. It was a really bad house. And one more thing, there was a claw machine that plays clown music that I had for my kids.
Okay.
And it's during, most of these things that happen besides the bed were during the day, which most people say they happen at night. So anyway, so it's like I'm downstairs working because I worked from home and my son's upstairs sleeping and he's 6 months old. And I hear da, 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 da. And as the claw gets closer to dropping, it goes faster and faster, which is even freakier, right? So I go up and unplug it and I go back down. I'm like, okay, it was plugged. And maybe it had a short or something. I start working it again, and 10 minutes later, it goes off again. So I call my husband this time, and I'm like freaking out. And he's like, did you take the batteries out? And I'm like, oh, no. So I go back up, and take the batteries out and I go back down, get off the phone with him, start working again. And I'm like, okay, we're cool now. Goes off again.
No way.
And I called him and I was like hysterical. I was like, I want this thing out of my house. Like right now, I'm not okay with this. There's no juice to this thing. Like what is happening? So yeah, that house was really bad. And after we moved, the kids, so I didn't tell them what was going on when we lived there because you don't want to tell your kids that.
Right. Of course.
You don't want to freak them out. And then after we moved, we hadn't even mentioned it yet. And they were like, we kept having like the craziest dreams there. And then we, all three of us girls would talk about it. And we had the same dream about the same shadow woman. Wow. And we even saw the shadow woman sometimes at night standing in the bedroom. And I was like, oh my God, this on top of everything else. I was like, okay, there's definitely something creepy in that house. But that's why I started writing that house.
Wow.
I wanted answers to why something like that could happen to somebody. So.
So you've written 17 books within the paranormal and you've written horror books as well, or is it basically just like the true paranormal? What kind of books?
Just true paranormal, but some of them are scary. So technically it's the horror genre. Yeah. And they're all real ghost stories. I interview people and I rewrite their experiences in story format, mostly to like, I wish I had somebody that did that for me when I lived in that house. I mean, obviously there's a lot more TV shows now than there was then, right. But just so I could be like, I'm not alone. These other people have had these experiences.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
So what's the most recent book is the Haunted Hotels?
The most recent one is 50 Ghost Stories. I published that one a week and a half ago. And then the one before that was Halloween Hauntings, people who have been haunted on Halloween.
Do you have any stories that you could share, like some of the craziest stories from any of your books that stick out to you?
I have two that I guess are kind of my favorite. I mean, I've written a lot now, so there's quite a bit. I actually narrate my own audiobooks. I'm in the process of that too. So I actually recorded one tonight that I can tell you about that I haven't mentioned before. Sure. It's in a haunted hospital book that I wrote. And this lady is a nurse and she wasn't feeling well one night. So she went into one of the rooms at the hospital and laid down to kind of sleep it off. And then she heard knocking a couple hours later and assumed maybe somebody was checking on her. And she opened the door and didn't see anything. And so she's like, okay. And she went laid back down. And then she suddenly was like overwhelmed with like paralysis. And the door opened and what looked like a doctor came in, like dressed as a doctor. But his face was really fuzzy and it seemed to change between people. Hmm. And she was kind of like, that's really odd. Maybe I'm hallucinating. I have a fever. And then he came closer to the bed. And then it seemed like he was checking her. And then he put both of his hands around her neck and started squeezing and she was choking and she couldn't breathe. And then finally she was able to get out of her paralysis and grab her rosary that was on the side of the bed. And then whatever it was like dissipated and went away. So that was one. And I mean, I don't know what you're like. I mean, you hear other people's stories and you're kind of like, that's interesting. But I think everybody has their own level of belief. So, I mean, like a story I could tell you about me, you kind of be like, that's kind of weird. You know, I'm not sure if I fully believe that. I mean, sometimes I do feel that when I interview people, but at the same time, it's like somebody might not believe my entire experience, but I know it happened. I had it. So there's that. But there is another one that's super creepy to me, and it's not a super long one. It's actually a 911 operator that I interviewed. And she got a call one night from a lady who was like obviously freaked out in her house. And her daughter were there. And she's like, there's something in my house. And the lady's like, well, are all your doors locked? Whatever. And she's like, no, all the doors are locked and no one like broke in. There's just something here. And the lady's like, what do you mean? So she dispatches people to the house and the lady's like, super sure there's some paranormal spirit in the house that's like trying to get them. I believe before they got there, because I wrote this one quite a while ago, but before they got there, the line disconnected. And then the 911 operator afterwards asked for an update, which they don't always give those to the 911 operators because it's not, you know, their job to do that. They already did their job. I guess the lady died from fright. When they arrived at the house, the lady was dead on the floor next to her daughter, and she died from fright.
Wow.
Yeah. God. And that one's like one of the creepiest ones I've heard, and it's not even super long. It's just like, I mean, wow. Like, what are the odds of that? Like, something must have been in there, you know? Like, how else would that happen? Right. I know there's a term for it. So it just means that she was scared to death is the term. Doesn't mean that she was killed by a spirit, but I mean, in the circumstances, it's so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So where could we find your books? Where are your books sold?
You can find them on Amazon or Walmart or pretty much any online retailer. And they're on Barnes & Noble's too. Yeah.
Cool, cool. So you host two podcasts, The Ghosts That Haunt Me and Forever Haunted?
Yes, actually I have four. I'm kind of an overachiever.
Can you tell me about the podcasts?
Yeah, I started Forever Haunted was my first one. And I do that with my hubby. And we just kind of talk about anything paranormal and just kind of talk back and forth. We do True Story Tuesdays, which we air three stories out of my books. And then we like banter in between them. Sometimes we're sarcastic about it. And then sometimes, you know, we're all serious. We try to keep, you know, light to the show. And then I have The Ghost That Haunts Me, which I've been doing since August. And that one is me interviewing like different people, like investigators, authors, psychics, all sorts of people about their experiences. Mm-hmm. And then I have a Truly Haunted podcast, which is actually where I just air one story from my books like every week. And then I just started a new podcast with Adam. Came to me and asked me to co-host with him. And he is the host of Mental Mastery Alliance. And he asked me to co-host conspiracy / paranormal podcast with him. So it's called Conspiracy. That's why I just said that. So that one's pretty cool. I'm not super into conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting, but I guess you learn something new every day. But the paranormal isn't for everybody either. Some people don't believe in that either. So it's a bunch of stuff.
When the subject of paranormal comes up and they're like, oh, have you ever had any? I usually give a disclaimer. You know, I'm like, listen, I'll tell you some of my stories. But truthfully, whether you believe me or not, I don't care. Because I know that what I saw was what I saw. What I experienced is what I experienced. So if you don't believe me, so be it. I'm not trying to make you believe me. This is just what I feel was the truth, at least from what I experienced.
Yeah.
What do you think about some of those paranormal TV shows?
You know, when my daughter was young, I didn't take her trick-or-treating. She was my oldest or my only kid at the time. And I didn't take her trick-or-treating because she was like really young. So I would do those whole Ghost Adventures binge watch shows that they played on Halloween night. And then a couple years later, I mean, I was addicted to them. And I found out that they faked a lot of stuff on it. I don't know if it was Ghost Adventures per se, but it was like one of those. And I got super offended because I really thought they were real. And then I have not watched a whole lot since then of those. I more watched the ones where they interview people. Mm-hmm. And like half of it's like the interview and half of it's reenactment.
Right.
Because I feel like that's more real.
Yeah.
Than possibly them fabricating something out of prison or an insane asylum, you know?
Yeah. I had started watching, I think probably came out like 99, 2000 when Ghost Hunters first came out on Sci-Fi. And when I tell you the first season was very real because they would go episodes and not find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would have an episode and the person would be like, oh, this is happening. They'd be like, well, we're plumbers. And the reason why you're hearing that noise is because of this, and this. This place isn't haunted. This place is fine. And then after a couple seasons, I guess the network must have been like, no, you guys got to start finding stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
And then it just started getting a little hard to believe. But yeah, no, I definitely agree with the paranormal caught on tape and stuff like that, the paranormal caught on camera. I really like those shows a lot. Ghost Adventures, not that I don't believe them, because I can't really say what's real and what's not. I'm not there. So I can't really say what's going on. I just, for me, I feel that Zach provokes too much. He tries to provoke things too much. Whether it's real or not real or whatever, some of the things, I just don't like the way he acts sometimes on some of the shows. But for the most part, I definitely like watching a lot of those shows, especially the paranormal caught on camera.
Have you watched My Horror Story? That one, I think, is on the Travel Channel. That one's really good. It's not all just paranormal. Sometimes it's something else, too.
Yeah, I have watched that. That one's pretty good, too. Yeah, like you said, all the ones that have like the interviews and stuff like that, those are, to me, the more realistic ones. Because the way I see it is, some people are like, oh, well, how do you know if they're telling the truth? And basically what you said earlier to me, it's like, well, I still kind of want people to believe what I'm saying. So what kind of hypocrite would I be if I don't give them the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
And believe in what they're saying. And honestly, for the most part, especially on those shows, the interview type shows, you could kind of tell these people at least believe what they experienced.
Yeah.
They definitely believe what they saw and what they experienced. That's why I like those shows a lot.
It could be. I mean, I've done a lot of interviews, so maybe I'm just like stuck on interviews. I'm like kind of closed-minded. But yeah, no, I've seen some Ghost Adventures. I actually have a friend that was on Ghost Adventures on an episode for, she's a psychic. Mm-hmm. And I know that she's really, really genuine. Like, she doesn't ask for money from her abilities, and she doesn't like even advertise that she's psychic. Like, if people come to her and they know that, and they're like, hey, something crazy is going on, will you help me out? Like, she'll help them, but she doesn't like openly talk about it a lot. So I know, I'm pretty sure I've not watched a lot of Ghost Adventures because I'm not a fan of Zach too much. But I don't know him personally. I just, you know, from what I've read, I think he's kind of more, I'm not sure how real he is, I guess. If he's in for the fame more.
It's a little bit of an overactor, you know?
Yeah. I've heard about his museum and stuff. I have not been there, so I can't really make a judgment on him, but I'm not the biggest fan. But I know that just her being on that kind of show, and she did tell me that she was very open. Like, I'm not going to make up stuff to be on the show. If you want me to be here, I'll be here, but I'm not going to pretend I'm seeing stuff that I'm not seeing.
That's cool.
And she said that they were totally open with that, and they did not ask for anything from that. And so I tend to see they're probably legit from her experience. Like, I'm like, cool, maybe I'll watch them, because the other show I watched, I heard things that they faked a bunch of stuff. So I didn't like that.
Yeah, actually, and I just found this out because I moved to upstate New York last year. And I just found out, and I'm kind of mad that I found out so late, but apparently the Ed and Lorraine Museum is about 40 minutes from me.
Oh, wow.
But it's closed down for good.
Yeah, they passed away.
Yeah, no, but even the person, I believe it was their nephew that ended up inheriting it.
Mm-hmm.
He had to close it down due to, I guess, because of all their movies, you know, all the Annabelle movies and The Nun and all that. I guess because of all that stuff, it creates a lot of traffic. And that museum is on a residential street.
Oh.
The neighbors were complaining and calling the cops. And I guess the cops ended up shutting it down.
Oh, wow.
I hope he ends up moving some of that stuff around the area so I can actually see it.
Yeah.
I would hate for Zach to purchase all that stuff and bring it all the way over to Las Vegas.
I know, right? And his museum of artifacts, whatever, I guess, however you say that.
I've actually never seen any of the Annabelle movies and stuff, but I would love to see the original Annabelle doll.
Yeah. Just don't tease it.
No. On that show that we were talking about, I hear you like pushing people down the stairs. Why don't you try pushing me down the stairs? Like, dude, stop.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to provoke them, because that can be really bad.
And then what happens if you really did get pushed down the stairs? You know, like,
yeah, if you provoke them enough, you might. So you have no idea what you're dealing with, you know. But yes, that's one of the first things I say when ghost hunting is don't provoke them.
Right.
Like, be respectful.
Yeah, right. So, you know, the paranormal is like a broad subject. There's a lot of things involved in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Mainly all your books and everything is focused on spirits and ghosts and hauntings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any like part of the paranormal where basically that you're skeptical, but that you just kind of like, I don't know, you know?
I don't know if it's really paranormal or not. I guess it's kind of sci-fi, but I really don't believe in cryptids and I really don't believe in UFOs. So I'm not saying that we're not alone, because I think it would be completely ridiculous to say that we're the only real true life in forever. Okay. But I don't believe they're green men,
right,
that are beaming down from spaceships. Okay. And stealing us while we're sleeping and then making cute little art projects out of our farms. Like, I don't think that's what they do. But again, I didn't live what they lived.
Right.
They really feel they saw that. So I'm still not one to judge, but my personal opinion is I'm not sure how real they are, but I am going to write a book about UFOs and I am going to write a book about cryptids because I like to keep open-minded. So those will be coming soon, but not anytime soon.
So with all your podcasts and the books and everything, what do you have next planned?
Well, I'm working on some fictional ghost stories, which I've wanted to do for a while, but I wanted to get out ones first that were real. And then I might have some TV venture, but I'm not 100% sure yet because I haven't finished that whole process. Mm-hmm. But yes, that could be happening.
Thank you very much for being my first interview that I've had on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So that does it for us here at the Ghost Hacks Podcast, Episode 3. If you would like to know more about us, you could look us up on Facebook groups, the Ghost Hacks Podcast. You'll see a nice little ghost with a duty cap on. You could also email us at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.